This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com. Oh, oh, oh,
O'Reilly. Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts. Roll. Co-pilot on the passenger side, be so fly. Yeah. She's so lit, we so high. Just me and my chick, yeah. Just me and my chick, yeah. Co-pilot on the passenger side, be so fly. Yeah. She's so lit, we so high. Just me and my chick, yeah. Just me and my chick, yeah. She give me A.
Yo, 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 what up, y'all? Welcome to another one, man. It's your boy, Raw One, and this is Sparking Conversation. And y'all know what I do each and every week, man. I get up here and I talk to some of the world's most interesting people. And I'm going to do the same thing this week. But like I also do each and every week, I have to start the show off with giving thanks to all the people that download the audio version of this platform. You guys are the real MVP. I have to say that each and every week because we all know when it comes to this content creation game, everybody is more focused on this part right here, which is the visual part, because that's the part that people use to go viral, right? That's their viral component, is whatever people see, because you're attacking more than one sense at the same time, right? But for to know that people are out there waiting to hear what you got to say, and as well as your guests too, that's another level of just, you know, understanding how dope you are when it comes down to what you're doing. So for all my content creators out there that take this thing serious, and you guys actually have your platforms, the audio version, on like Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, and all those other places, you know what I mean? Like, yo, at least that's one step to you understanding how to take this thing serious and treat it like a business and become a publisher as well too, right? Because why do this if only thing you worried about is going viral, right? If that's your goal for doing podcasts or even content creation in general, then, you know, you missed the whole boat, right? We want to make sure that we're doing these things because it's a purpose of ours. It's also a passion of yours because, you know, the whole viral thing and the way that people get paid off their content, we understand that that's a thing, right? That's a main motivation for people because there's a lot of people out here who really don't want to work a traditional 9-to-5 as a means to make money, right? But we understand that that mentality also comes with a lot of hard work. And I don't think people understand the work that it takes for you to maintain a viral moment. You know, so many people have gone viral for one video and then they haven't been able to do it since then. Right. I was having this conversation the other day and I was saying, you know, the difference between a lot of people who don't understand the whole, you know, you got to water your seeds, right, and watch it grow, or the whole correlation between the way a carrot grows versus other vegetables. Right. You got this thing where there's a lot of people who plant their seeds. Right. So they do a bunch of stuff. They stay consistent. Right. And they keep moving on. And at any given time, one piece of content that they have can go viral, boom. And then now off of that viral moment, it also links people back to other content that they've done. And now that one viral moment could turn into they could sustain them because that, you know, those millions of people that caught that one video will turn into millions of video views on other videos because now they're starting to see other things that you have going on versus the person that just catches that one lick. As soon as they come out the box, they catch that lick. They don't got nothing else in the background. So now they're trying to chase that. And, you know, that's the theme that's going on out here in the world, right? A lot of people are chasing that first high that they got from whatever they got that made them have that feeling, that makes them feel like, you know what I mean? Like, this is it. No matter what it is, you know, it's a lot of people who are, what they call back in the day is chasing the dragon, right? But thank you to all of y'all. I wanted to say that too. And to all my content creators out there, stay up, keep pushing and keep moving, all right? Word. We got to motivate each other, if not motivate yourself. Other than that, I do have to give shout out to all the people that support the platform. And we want to give a shout out to Java Burn. Y'all know the vibes, man. If you guys need a little extra boost in your coffee, y'all got to hit them up. Click the link in the descriptions, y'all. You can get more information on Java Burn. And I understand some people hit me. They was like, yo, Rob, but ain't, you know, coffee already has this thing in it with the extra caffeine that makes people jump out the gym already. Why would they need some extra? And I was saying, well, the difference between Java Blend is about the extra is that there's a lot of people who prefer coffee as a taste and as a flavor, but there's a few people who have to worry about the crash of caffeine as well, too. Well, Java Blend has this this patent blend that they have that doesn't allow the crash, and it allows a continuous, you know, thing of energy to go through you, and as well as help you to burn calories, which most of us, or if not most people, should be concerned about, right? When it comes down to the healing, you know, we got our spirit and we got our body, and we got to have a balance of both in order to live harmoniously, right? So check them out if that's how y'all feeling out here in the world. All right. So if you guys are into smelling good and you into smelling real good and you can't really deal with the alcohol version of fragrances, then you know what to do. Hit up Aroma Air. The links is in the description. They have all your favorite fragrances in an oil base, right? So without the alcohol, so it won't irritate your skin and do all the other stuff, right? So y'all make sure y'all check them out. I really appreciate that. Also, to all of you guys that's been checking out the content, man, y'all checked out the new short film, Kill No One. Y'all, I definitely appreciate all the love that y'all been showing us. It is so dope. We had almost 8,000 views in 2 weeks. So I do appreciate y'all. All the shares, all the likes, all the comments. You know, we staying in this comedy lane, man. We just trying to keep things going and keep it pushing and just living out our dreams, not waiting on nobody to give us an opportunity we created on our own. All right. So double salute to all of y'all that's been watching, sharing, liking, and comment. I appreciate y'all. Also, shout out the Lit Sticks, right? The premium hybrid pre-roll brand in the building, yo. Y'all guys out there that take by partaking that type of thing, y'all know what to do. Shout out to them, man. Click the link in the description to get more information on them too. Okay. All right. So I do have a guest tonight. Tonight's conversation is going to be really good. I'm glad that all you guys that are in the building so far, thank y'all for joining. We know it'll be more people joining us in a little bit. But before I bring my guest up, right, we got to do what we do each and every week. And we got to talk about a few things that's going on during the week. Speaking of health, now we want to talk about this from a different perspective because I know on Sparking Conversation, a lot of you guys hit me and you say things like, yo, Ra, I didn't hear about that. Right. Before you said anything about it. Peace, Jay. I appreciate you, bro, for checking in, man. Definitely appreciate you. You guys say that. So I feel privileged to be able to give out certain information to a lot of the audience. And I'm not saying that people don't know about it. It's just that I guess, you know, the people that appreciate the things that come across. So I wanted to talk to y'all a little bit about some things that they've been saying, like. We've all been having the find ways since COVID, right? Even before COVID, but since COVID, everybody has to been trying to find ways to keep themselves as healthy as possible, right? We have to. You don't have the luxury of just saying to yourself, oh, I'm going to just go to the doctor. Because from what we understand, going to the doctor will start you off worse than you did before you went. And I mean, I'm just being real. Like, I'm not giving nobody medical advice and none of that other stuff. I just want y'all to know all the little disclaimers that come with that. But one thing that we do understand is that ever since the microwave has been a household thing where it's been normalized that it's in everybody's household, right? people have been having to deal with this thing called microplastics, right? You know, microplastics that get in your system because most people are heating their food up in their containers and things that they contain their food in. So leftovers, right? It's like nobody really cooks a meal unless it's a frozen dinner in a microwave. Most of the time it's used for the reheat. Because for some reason, you know, the oven, for some people that take a little too long for them to put it in the oven, they're going to put it in the microwave 30 seconds and boom, we're trying to blow the food off so we can eat it. But what happens is when you guys heat that food up in these containers, these plastic containers, right, or these plastic Ziploc bags, it releases these particles into your food, which causes you to have these things. So a lot of people having a lot of these neurological issues, headaches, migraines, all these other different things that's associated with it is because of the microplastics in our food. So what I found out is that, listen, you know, because there are people who are starting to pay attention to these things, they're starting to come up with the alternative. So
this podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
They have these new plastic, well, not plastic, plant-based containers now, right? That, you know, people can buy, they can consume. That way you can help you with having to keep as much of the foreign objects out of your body as possible. We all know that it's going to be hard for most people to get rid of the microwave. You know, a lot of people have air fryers now, but then you got to be careful because the air fryer technology, a lot of them are, you know, using the microwave technology too, the cheaper ones especially. So you have to be careful with air fryers as well too. But either way it go, now you do have a choice with some plant-based Ziploc bags, containers, and a whole nine. Like, because we have to do everything we can to help take care of ourselves, because as we've been finding out so much here in this country as it does in other ones, that they really too much don't care about us out here, yo. Big Pharma does not have our best interests in mind. They can care less about the people. All we are is a revolving door for them, or I guess, you know, what revolves through the door, whatever that would be considered for them. They can care less about that. And a lot of these major companies, they've been in cahoots with them in order to keep us sick by allowing certain things to be in our food. It might be smaller doses, but over the course of time, as much as you consume those things, they become bigger, right? So we got to pay attention, right? So listen, pay attention, y'all. They are plant-based Ziploc bags, plastic bags, and all these other things. Try your best to look into those things, all right? Let's get right out here. All right, try to fall off of using so much aluminum foil too, right? Let's get off of that. Let's try to wean ourselves off of that. Let's kind of move into the future with our heads on right? And the reason why I'm saying that is because, you know, we got to think about this. You know, for everybody that's becoming conscious and being aware that, you know, for so long, you know, our doctors have not been on our side. They'll be smiling. They've been so nice. They've been so cordial. They even send out cars during the holidays with them and their family on in them ugly sweaters, right? To let you know that they appreciate you coming through, right? Spending that little copay and everything else you do, right? Not knowing the whole time that they don't care about you. They do everything they can to keep you coming back and forth because of the kickbacks they get for giving out things. But also the fact that how many of you guys had found out that, you know, due to the way that they keep drawing blood from people, like they draw so much blood from a person, that a lot of times that they draw too much blood from a person at one time. And some of these times, some of that stuff, it really affects people and it affects kids. that when you take your child for these checkups and all of a sudden they're drawing blood for your baby every time you go. And it's like, yo, what are we doing out here, yo? Like, what are we doing? Like, is the blood going to be different? Or is it because after every dose of these vaccines, they're trying to make sure and check and see what your DNA is doing so they can report back to the people that's coming through. Now, listen, this isn't me saying it. This is what they're saying. And this is for those of us with common sense have to pay attention to, right? So it was a couple. In L.A., out of all places, because, you know, out in L.A., it's just about everything that go on out there, right? But in L.A., it was a couple who get the cops called on them because, you know, they refuse to give their, you know, the hospital permission to draw their child's blood. So the hospital calls the police on them and literally tries to get, you know, get them reprimanded or whatever they can just because they denied them the right to draw blood. And I was wondering, like, man, like, do we really have full autonomy of who we are? Are we really living in a free society? Are we really free, y'all? Like, despite all the negative, you know, corny racial shit that they're trying to pull out on us and make us stay divided based on that, regardless of all those other things out there, are we really free? And I understand that for people who look like me, of course, they have all of these other innuendos that they use to say, no, we ain't free. We ain't been free and all this other stuff. Yeah, all right, whatever. But what I'm saying to you is that is anybody free? Like, if any of you guys that's not on the side of them or those that are the elite, are you free? And, I mean, the answer is, I mean, no. I mean, as much as we like to use the things that make us different, a means to keep us apart, we should really look at the fact that we have so many things in common that should bring us together, but we don't allow that. We allow things like skin color, like we could sit up here and choose, pick and choose what we're born into before we get here. Or the fact that we need to be mad at another person or look down on them because they're not born the way that we are. Like, that's the weirdest thing in the world. Because, like I say, a lot of times the ones that hurt us the most look like us. It doesn't necessarily come from people that don't. Word. So just the fact that they could call the police on you. Remember, but the last administration, they was calling the police, or not even the police, the FBI. On parents that was going to school board meetings that was bringing up concerns about what they was teaching their kids in school. Like, what are you doing? Like, yo, and they was doing all kind of stuff to parents at that particular point. So we got to fall back. We got to find ways to stick together when it comes to the things that's most important and find ways to leave all that other divisive stuff alone, man, and pay attention because it's affecting all of us. Don't matter what your color is, man. It don't matter what neighborhood you live in when it comes to certain things. Yo, word up. I'm telling you, it affects us all. Because they keep threatening everybody with this so-called, you know, cyber attack where everything is supposed to go off. And, man, can you imagine with the mindset of most people and the way that they are just so easily controlled by the way that the media is set up, how that will look for a lot of people? The fear that they've been promoting when everybody is starting to know that they got all these secret bunkers, so-called. I mean, it ain't a secret no more, but they're doing all these things and building all these things, and everybody is so afraid of what the future looks like because they have a bunch of people who have a bunch of money that's going to do things on purpose to a bunch of people who don't have a bunch of money. That's weird. But, hey, we got to find ways to live the way that we're supposed to. We got to live as gods, right? We don't have to live as the creator, but we need to live as gods that we are. We're here for a reason, and this is not it, right? So why I'm thankful today is because, you know, even with my guests today, we're going to talk about things in a more spiritual end because, you know, y'all, this is where we got to draw our strength from. We already dealing with enough things in the physical, and we got to be able to deal with things from the spiritual sense. We got to be able to see in the spiritual space, right? We got to look with our third eye at the way things are going on out here in order for us to understand how we're supposed to stand and what we're supposed to stand on. Right. So look, I'm gonna bring my guest up because like I'm anxious and I'm excited to get into this conversation because, you know, I think we're gonna learn a lot. Because y'all know that on my show, I talk to a lot of people from very, very interesting places, right? And I've had spiritual people on the show already before, so y'all know that's not a stranger to the platform. The one thing that I do love about people that come from the spiritual space is that they all come from a different perspective, even those that share similar gifts. that helps us with our information, right? That helps us with our education on how to learn. So look, let's do this, man. Let me bring my guest on up so we can get chopping it up, right? Because that's what it's about. Let's see what's going on here. All right. So Julie, what's going on?
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I want to just say to you real quick that I appreciate you coming on the platform and speaking with the audience this evening. I want to let the audience know the comments will be wide open. So if you hear certain things throughout the program and you want to drop comments in the comment, please, you know what to do. Do that. But before we do, can you do me a favor, Julie, and just introduce yourself to the audience and let them know why you're on the platform this evening?
Sure. Hi, everyone. I'm Julie Rashad. I am an intuitive life coach and an astrocartographer. So that's a relocation astrologer. I help people find the best places in the world to move or travel in order to experience more of what you want to experience in your life. So that's what I do in a nutshell.
That's amazing because I never heard of a relocation because, you know, there are a lot of people who deal with the fear that comes with uprooting themselves from what they're so comfortable and used to, right? Even me myself, you know, I'm from New Jersey, but I moved to North Carolina, and it was a place where, you know, I didn't know anybody before we got here. So that was scary. And I know it's a lot of people that deal with that. So let's talk about that a little bit before we get into your other things. What made you, or how were you first introduced to the fact that you were aware that you had a gift to be able to help people with their positioning in life, especially when it comes to location?
Well, I was in a place in my life where I was feeling really stuck. I was feeling stuck in my business, like things weren't progressing. I was single at the time and was dating the same kind of man and like not feeling good about my connections and dating. And I was just like, what is going on? Why do I feel so stuck? I am someone who likes to like charge full speed. Like I'm kind of impulsive. Like I decide I want something and I just go after it and I usually get it. So for me to have things not progressing in love and also in money, career, I was really frustrated and to the point where I was like, I got to get out of here. I need to move. I need to get out of this house because I had a whole house by myself with my two children. And I was just like, I need a change. And so I actually booked an intuitive reading and she said, you need an astrocartographer. You need someone who can look into different locations to give you kind of a heads up of what to expect before you uproot your family. So that's how I got into it. I had a reading and I thought it was fascinating. And already being an intuitive and someone who's given visions and messages for people, I decided to expand and look specifically at locations for people.
That's amazing. So astrocartographer, right? Right. So whenever they did the reading for you, was it based on them reading you from an energy base? Just reading based off your energy? Were you in person when it first happened? When you first got your first reading, were you in person with the reader?
No, she was actually in Dubai. She was traveling around on her astrocartography lines, and she is a blogger, and she does a lot of videos showing what happens when you go to your different lines. And so what they do is they read your birth chart. So you do need your birth time and location of birth. And then from there, they look at your chart, see how all the planets are connected to each other, how they support or challenge each other. And then have this map, and it's called the astrocartography map. And it shows you if you move here, like I've been called to California a lot. I'm from Maryland, but I keep getting called back there. I've gone on vacation there and I just feel so good there. For a lot of the reasons that you were talking about before, about like everything that's going on in our food. And they're very aware out there. Like they know all of that and they have more options for us. And a lot of them are, you know, they're hesitant to go to the doctor. And so am I, you know, so I resonate with that lifestyle. So I was called out west. And when I went out there, everything opened up for me. You know, I had my business really pick up. I actually reconnected with a former partner and we're now married. Like he proposed to me. Like, wow. And that happened because I was in really good energy and also because he's my partner. But that all happened when I was on my best supportive lines in California. And then I ended up coming back to Maryland, getting married. And now I'm here building a life with him.
Well, that's amazing because I don't think that is a popular version of a reading that most people go for when it comes to spiritual readings, right? Most people, I mean, you did it based on location, but most people will do it based on just love in general, right? Like some people will go get a reading to find out what if something is wrong with them when it comes down to love. Right. Because, you know, at some point, everybody gets to the point where they want somebody. And I think that becomes one of the strongest emotions as an adult. Once you get to a certain age of, you know, how you judge yourself, whether you feel like you're successful or not. You know, all your outside people will look at your businesses and maybe your material things and feel like you're successful when you don't feel like that. Right. Mm-hmm. Because it's that thing that you feel like you're supposed to have. And you don't have that, right? So whenever you went out west, was it based on after you got the reading or were you already being drawn to California before you even had the reading in the first place?
My intuition kept calling me there and I did host a retreat there, which was hugely successful and brought in a lot of money. Right. Also just think it's beautiful, you know, like it's right. The food is amazing. Like there's a lot of reasons why I love it out there, but the astrocartography reading was more of a confirmation to go out there. And you were talking about love before. I can help people find where their soulmate could be, you know, like I do something called Where in the World is Your Soulmate. If we look at your Venus lines, then that can help predict where you could meet, you know, a soulmate partner, a romantic partner, or even just really good friends, like colleagues that are going to support you on your path. So we do look at love. And being an intuitive, I also can receive guidance around why they might be blocked in love or why they keep attracting the same kind of partner, what wants to be healed around that. But I love looking into love because, like you said, I think most people do want to be in partnership, even if they say they don't. Life is so much more fulfilling when you're with your person, you know, it just is. And they teach us so much and grow us so much. You know, it's not always easy, but they are the ultimate person. That's why they call them soulmate. They're meant to grow your soul. So gotcha. I think that's an important part of it.
Yeah, I mean, and from my understanding, from you know other spiritual people that I've had on the show, the soulmate too, right? Like the soulmate doesn't always mean that it's your soulmates are people who you are romantically involved with. A lot of times, soulmates could come in the form of certain family members, or like you said earlier, business partners or partnerships that produce really positive outcomes in life, right? There's that part of it. The only difference that I have a struggle with when it comes to people who look at soulmates and stuff like that is that for a lot of people, they attach a negative thing to a person that they were supposed to be a soulmate with, right? Because they think of it as because of some things that may have gone wrong and that was their person because of how they felt about them. Not knowing that, no, they were just a really strong lesson you were supposed to learn to prepare you for your soulmate. And I think that's the hardest thing for people to recognize, right? Like when they're in love with a person and things don't go right, it changes them. Mm-hmm. So it puts them in the wrong energy so they don't receive the person coming to them because they allow certain pieces of them to go away because of the fact of whatever happened with the person that they were with before. So how do you deal with people when it comes to that? Are you one of those that when people come to you, you're straight up with them and letting them know, like, yo, or how are you when it comes to that? Are you more of a passive way of giving information to people? How are you when it comes down to your readings?
Well, I take myself out of the equation. So it's not really me giving the guidance. Like I'm a channel. So I ask spirit guides and angels to speak through me. So it's not. Because later they might say like, oh, you said, and I'm like, I said, what did I? I don't even remember after I do channeling, after I do readings, the information just comes out of me and then it's gone. And it's so I can live my own life and not be bothered by other people's messages. So it's really like I had take on a different personality. Like I'm much more assertive as a spirit guide that I am. I do believe I'm a spirit guide. My voice changes and I get much more assertive. And I'm just like I do call people out, you know, when I'm doing it. It's like, what are you doing? Is this what you want? You know? And like you said, sometimes people are blocking what it is they do want because they stay too long in something that's not for them any longer. And I don't believe any relationships are bad or wrong. I've been married once before and I think it was perfectly fine. And he's my ex-husband, but I know he also is a soulmate and we had children together. So clearly he was a soulmate. And so none of my relationships have been bad or wrong. They've all been lessons. But then there can come a time when it's like, okay, that lesson is complete. That soul contract is complete. It's time to move in a different direction. And that's something that your guys will say. And it comes out in the form of questioning, like a therapist, so that the person arrives at it themselves through the questioning technique. And it's not like telling this person, like, you should break up with them. I would never do that in the spirit guides either. They just simply ask questions to like get the person to arrive at the solution themselves. So that's what I do. And they speak through me. And by the end of the call, people are usually like, I know exactly what I need to do. I know it, like, and they're crying or they're excited, they're happy. And they always say they feel lighter was spoken.
Yeah. And I think that's important too, because some people, I think it's just like how you said earlier, sometimes intuitively we know already the answers to things. And a lot of times we look for someone to give us that confirmation, right? To make sure that it's not just us, right? Because a lot of people do have a spiritual gift that was turned off because of either religion or the fact that they were looked at a certain way. And those two things alone will cause a person's gift to be either, you know, swept under the rug, buried, or it will become dormant in them to the point where they don't rely on their gifts because they don't look at it as one. They find out that something makes them different, and automatically, because different to some people are bad. Mm-hmm. Automatically.
Yeah. And that was part of my journey, that I was raised Catholic, and when I came out as a medium and I realized like my grandfather was sending our family messages and I told the family, they were like scared. And they said, don't ever speak of that again. Don't talk about it. It's dangerous. And I was like in my 40s, you know, so I was like, what? Like, what is this? And my ex-husband also was very uncomfortable with it and told me to turn it off, to stop. Don't talk about it. You know, it was like I brought shame to the family because of it. And I was trying to explain, I'm a healer. Like I do this to uplift and inspire people. And it's not something that I can turn off. Like it is a like God appointed mission. And I believe right. that God is my boss. And so is Jesus. And I'm not going to say no to God and Jesus because my family's uncomfortable. You know, it's like, get over it. And they did get over it. And now we're fine. You know, 5 years later, it just is like, we don't talk about it together, but you know, they know what I do and it's fine. And we have good relationships now. So it's, you know, we've moved past it.
Which is good, because to be honest with you, when it comes to anything in the spiritual space, that for some reason, it's a fear-based thing that comes with a lot of people. And it's mainly because of religion, because people are told that there's only one thing.
Right.
Right. When it comes down to religion, they say it's only God and that's it. You know, and even in the scripture, when it says, you know, the God of the Bible may say something like, hey, don't worship, you know, there's no other gods other than me. Or, you know, God is a jealous God, you know, and this and the third. Well, even right then and there is an admission that there are other gods. Right. But for those people, they don't see that from that perspective, because I never understood why a God that created something would want with its creation to worship it. Because whenever we look at our own lives and the things that God allowed us to do in order to be, and you know, when they say that we're made in the image of God, I mean, we're creators as well too, from the fact of having children or from the fact of the things that you do have in your head, you being able to create them in real life, whether it's through your healing or whatever it is, you know, for those who are artists or whatever. Like, everything starts off as a thought, right? And then it becomes, and that's where they said that the creation of the world is based on God's thoughts, right? And then they became. So whenever I look at that, and then I look at the way that religion is not spiritual, mm-hmm. right? It's more of a construct that gives people a set of rules and a set of variations to stay in. Like, it's almost a limitation, right? To only trust what is outside of you, not to trust what's inside of you.
Exactly. Right?
Put the blame or give the praise to things that are outside of you. Never look within. Never look at you. Never allow yourself to believe in you. Only believe in other things so that way you can have that validation. And that's what comes from the fact that why social media has people in a frenzy as well, too, because it's an instant validation for most people. That's a lot of times it gives them a false sense of reality because they really think they get a lot of likes that people like them. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's not that. It could be they like what they see, but not like you as an individual. Right. So let me ask you this. In order for you, at what age did you realize that you had these spiritual gifts outside of what the Catholic Church was teaching you?
I remember when I was in sixth grade, I was 12, and I remember raising my hand when we were studying the Bible. And I just, my intuition was like, that's off. Like, that's not what happened. Like, I felt like I knew, and I had to raise my hand and say something. And I was like, like, how do we know this actually happened? Like, I questioned the teacher, and she was wonderful. And she praised me for questioning. And she said, I love that you're curious about this, you know, and she encouraged us to be curious, which was a gift. I'll never forget that. Like, she did encourage that curiosity in me. And then my other classmates would chime in too. Like, we're not sure either. Or, you know, so I think I was a bit of a leader even as a child in that. And even now I started going back to Christian church about 6 months ago, and I can listen. And there are certain things that they say that I'm like, no, that didn't happen that way. Like I just have a knowing. But I can still be there and respect what they're saying. And I just see it as that's their perspective. I don't judge it. I can listen to it with an open heart. And I feel great being around other people who worship Jesus as I do. And I also believe that, like, we all have an intuition. We all are gods. You know, we all are created from God. We all are God. So we all have access to this information. And I don't agree with the part that says, don't trust yourself. Don't listen to your emotions. I think that's completely wrong. I do think that the emotions are there to signal, like, something here doesn't feel right or isn't safe. And like, we're not meant to ignore our emotions or our feelings. We're meant to get curious about them. Why is that there? What is that trying to tell me? Right. And making our decisions based on what's best for us.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you gotta kind of think about it, you know, the way that people are raised can definitely determine whether they connect to who they really are. Right? Because so many of us get caught up into what people are telling us that it's very hard for us to figure out ourselves, you know? And the one thing about spirituality is that it has such a bad rep because it comes with almost like you're against everything else or you're rebelling, right? Because the main thing that people want you to do is be saved, right? Like, if it's any religion, like even when it comes to Islam or Judaism or, you know, Christianity in a whole, like they want you to be totally submissive to the religion, but not totally submissive to God, mm-hmm. which it kind of is contradictory. What you was going to say?
I was just going to say, when people say saved, I'm kind of like, saved from what? Because I believe we're all inherently good because we all came from God and God is love. So I'm like, what are you being saved from? You know, like, I never understood that myself. I'm like, we're little gods. Like, what do we need saving for?
I mean, if you, that goes back to the point before about, you know, everybody having to believe in something outside of themselves, something outside of you to save you, right? Like, you're not allowed to believe in yourself enough to save yourself. You have to rely on something else, right? Because religion is the basis of you actually putting the blame on other things or giving the praise to other things versus yourself, right? Because even when it comes down to politics, let's be real, like, there are people who are separated depending on what political party that they represent, but not understanding that it, either way it goes, depending on where you are in the right, in the bracket, it's going to affect you the same way. It doesn't matter what side you're on when it comes down to whether you're on the side of whether you want to be free or do you want to continue to have someone else do it for you. And if you kind of think about it, it kind of looks that way when it comes down to Democrat and Republican, right? You got Democrats who feel like, you know, you guys should vote for us because we're going to give you something. And then you got the Republicans who say, we could vote for us because we're going to allow you to give it to yourself. And so now you have the same thing when it comes down to religion and spirituality. You have people in religion who are saying, nope, I'm not going to get into spirituality because all my help come from the Lord. Everything I get come from God. Everything I do come from God. It comes from Jesus. It comes from God. It doesn't come from me. And so then whenever you realize that if Jesus in his passing said, hey, I'm going to send you my spirit. We all know that a spirit can only exist inside of a body, right? If it's a spirit. Other than that, it's a, what, a ghost, a soul? Like, what is that outside of it being a spirit, right? So that means that whatever we are supposed to be is from something that's inside of us, not coming from something outside of us. And that's where our gifts, or for people who have those intuitions like you, or that are intuitive to the spirit, because, you know, think about it, even from where you sit, you have to be open to hear the voice of something other than you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And people will ask sometimes, like, how do you know where that's coming from? Like, how do you not know it's not like a demon or something dark? And I'm like, because of the, how it feels. Like, and I do pray to God before every session. I ask to be protected. And I wait until my vibration feels really high. And sometimes it makes me laugh. Like, when I get into a really high vibration, I start laughing. Like, I feel very angelic. And then right. From space, that's where I bring the messages. If anything feels off at all, even in the other person, I will pause and I'll say a prayer and I'll bring in the loving light of God. And so, like, I do that practice, but I'm like, well, my intention is to uplift and inspire and encourage people. So why would the devil want to do that? You know, like, it doesn't make sense with my intention. Yeah, I mean, I do believe in dark forces. I do believe that, like, some of our thoughts are not from God 100% because of how they make you feel. Like, fear is not from God, you know? Only loving thoughts are true. I heard somebody say that at one point, like, only loving thoughts are true. So when you get into fear-based thoughts, that's not from God. And that's not, you know, so I do believe in the existence of the dark, but we have to be attuned to it and realize when we're in it. And then choose to get out of it. And I call in God and I ask to be surrounded by God's love and light. And it's a practice of catching it. Like, when your mind ruminates on things you don't want to be focused on, it's like catching it and then coming back to your God center. That's what I like to do.
Yeah, you're right. I think that helps a lot with emotional intelligence too, what you just said, is being able to catch yourself in a negative thought process and purposely reverse it, right? Purposely change the thought, because so many of us will be thinking about something before, you know, or knowing something is on the horizon, and we'll think about it in a negative way. And then when it happens, it doesn't happen nowhere near as bad as we thought, right? So even I can say this about myself, I've been practicing for the last couple of years, right? It hasn't been long, but I've been practicing emotional intelligence in that space, right? Being able to catch those negative thoughts that play over and cutting them right there in the middle of it, even if I have to talk out loud, because, you know, our thoughts take us over in the silence of our head, right? And so even if I have to talk out loud about anything, I mean, to change it and to get myself focused on what I want and not what I think and stuff like that. So I agree with you on that. You have to be willing to accept the fact that our thoughts, all of our thoughts, are not our own. Mm-hmm. Our subconscious has a way of bringing up thoughts that that makes it feel like it's protecting us. Mm-hmm. You know, that's that fight or flight thing that comes in, right? Our subconscious is only there to protect us. So in that, it's a lot of fear-based thinking that comes from your subconscious in order for you to protect you, because your subconscious doesn't want you to fail. But we all know that the fear of failure is failure. Right? Because if you don't try it at all, or if you don't do it at all, you failed automatically, right? Versus you took the shot. Like, if you took the shot, you took the shot. It was a 50-50 chance that you was going to hit the shot, but it's 100% chance you're not going to hit it if you don't try, right? So that's the difference between people who understand and the fact that, you know, having a spiritual base about yourself, it goes along with your religious construct, so to speak, because there's so many different levels to that too, right? Especially in Christianity, it's about 8 different denominations, so to speak, that all say that they're correct. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. And
that says
you gotta be able to feel it. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to be skeptical of anyone that says this is the only way. Like, that there's always another way, you know? So it's like anyone who says that, a teacher, a parent, a spouse, like, this is the way, then is it? Like, there's always another way.
Of course, because look, when it comes down to spirituality, it for most people, they don't understand it is energy, right? But it's a feeling, you know, your spiritual self will pick up on energy before you even, you know, get the chance to, you know, your analytical mind to kind of figure out what's going on. You'll feel it beforehand. And this is the thing that I say, this is one of the things that keeps men and women separated too, right? Is because we've allowed ourselves to believe that intuition or spirituality only comes from, it's gender-based, right? You know, for most women, they feel like they have an intuition that when things are wrong, right? You have so many women who can have the intuition of when they feel like their partner is doing something wrong, right? That'll come in a heartbeat where, you know, they're looking at patterns, they're looking at this, that, and the third, because they feel like this person should always be the same, which I don't understand that either. Right? Because even in your life, it's not going to be the same. You're not going to be the same every month, right? You know, as far as a woman is concerned, but in the actuality of a man, but the intuition never kicks in, or whatever that thing is when the person is unhappy. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's why it keeps a wedge in between people, because they think that intuition and spirituality are two separate things when it's not. It's a duality in both. Like, spirituality is your spirit person on the inside, right? And then your intuition is the way that you comprehend what you're feeling on the inside. So if your partner is off versus you looking at why you think they're doing something wrong, you might want to look at what makes them want to feel like it's okay to do something wrong in your eyes, right? But that's the part that they don't do. And then for men, you know, they have such a strong exterior that they don't want to even get into what they feel on the inside, because for them, they don't want to feel weak. Mm-hmm. Knowing that their spirit man is talking to them about the people that they're around, it's telling them it's like just as strong as any other feeling that they have, but they're overlooking because of pride. Mm-hmm. Right? So we all, I think, is the thing where we got to look at our spirituality as that. It's energy. It's going to be energy-based and it's frequency-based. People are not in tune to thinking that frequencies really matter, and it really does. From your perspective, what do you think when it comes down to spirituality and frequencies? Do you think it matter?
100%. I also think it's related to your past experiences, because we can create things in our mind and then feel the emotion, negative emotion, and it might not even be real, right? Like, I know I've done, like, I'm divorced, so I have trauma from being divorced already, right? And then my current partner will one little thing and I'm like, ah! like, oh my God, this reminds me of that. Right. But that's a trauma response. Like, it really wasn't anything, except that it reminded me of the past, you know? And I also think that the intuition is not fear-based. Like so it's like, how would God see this situation? So if something's causing fear, it's like, that is fear-based. And it, like, if you can get to that higher vantage point, which is really hard when you're in it and you're living the life and you're like immersed in something, take that higher perspective. But I think that's why, like, people work with people like me to give them that higher vantage point. Like, how would God see this situation? To bring them out of the muck of being deep in it and pulling them up higher and seeing it at, from that more neutral perspective, you know, perception. Because everything's the way we see it. So when you see it as really wrong or bad or scary, it is, but it's not always realistic based on what's actually happening. It can be based on a past experience, past trauma as well.
Right, right. And I believe that wholeheartedly because, you know, there's certain times that, you know, people would say that they feel bad and they feel depressed, but they don't really know why. Mm-hmm. Right? They could look at things in their life and they could say, yo, I have a lot of things going on, but then it could be that one thing in their life. They don't have the right partner in life, or, you know, they don't really have like the financial goal that they felt like they were going to be at the age that they're in. Or maybe they had a gift or a dream or something that they felt like they would have accomplished already. And they happen to be really, really good at what they're doing, but they just haven't been able to cross over to that next level that they feel like was going to make them successful. And I think when people deal with those type of emotions, it caused them to not so much think from a spiritual space, right? There are people who may have had the gift or dream of being a famous singer, right? And they never had, you know, never received a record deal, right? They've done all the shows. They've done all the recording studios. They've been in the rooms with the people. They have meetings. They've been to the record labels. They've had people tell them how good they are. They've done so great at shows, but they've never been able to get to that next level that they want. And they feel so bad and they're depressed about it, right? Because they not even look at that as the fact of maybe the spirit was protecting you, right, from that which you know not of. Because, you know, in the sense of praying, you pray for, you know, against danger seen and unseen, right? Because what else are we praying for? Like, what's the sense of having faith? Faith is the substance of things not seen, but substance of things yet hoped for, right? So if you're going to have faith in stuff, then it has to be things that you don't know. Nobody has faith in the floor. The floor is already there, right? So they're not having faith that the floor is going to be there. What they having faith is that when they get in the car, they don't have no accidents, mm-hmm. right? Not that the floor is not there. Like, so people have this sense that, you know, whenever it comes down to life, that spirituality is only the small, minute part of them. And everything else that they feel and think and see is the major part of them. But they don't understand, like, yo, if you can really dive deep into strengthening your spirit person as well as you would go to a gym to strengthen your flesh, that you will be able to deal with things in such a different light.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Yeah. And I think, like, one of the goals can be, like, how could I get to neutral? Because whenever we care too much about something, like, we create resistance and we make it harder and we're like, oh, I want that so bad. I want that record deal so bad. I want this person so bad that we're so fixated on it. And like you said, sometimes we'd be protected, like being protected by some dangers unseen. We don't know why it's not working out, but there's a reason why, right? So, and faith is only developed when you have the, like, opportunity to develop it. Like, if everything was always going the way you wanted, there'd be no reason for faith. There'd be no reason to trust. But to develop skills like trust and faith, you do need to be in the dark sometimes. You do need to be really low. And everybody goes through bouts of depression. Like, I believe we all experience all of it and at some point in our lives. And to me, depression is just like cutting off from who you really are, cutting off from your source, cutting off from God, cutting off from belief that you are powerful. Like, feeling powerless is what causes people to get that down and that low.
Yeah, it does. Depression is one of those things that I feel like we can directly correlate to whatever what your version of what evil is, right? There are things that we can see as far as like even the state of the world, like the things they put in the food, we talked about that, the things that they put in the air, the way that they mandated people to take a shot, and you know, the way that that did more harm than the actual thing that people were taking it for, you know, all of the things that people were told to do all came from a place of not having faith, right? Because when religion becomes, you know, it's comfortable to be able to stand on religion without standing on your spirituality when it comes from you believing in something outside of yourself. But then when your spiritual person or your, you know, spiritual GPS, as they say, right, starts to kick in and telling you that this don't feel right, this don't seem right, this ain't right, you're not supposed to do this. But for you, you go to the place where you say, well, you know what? I'm just going to put it in God's hands. I have faith that even if I do this, that God is going to bring me through. But then that goes against believing in God in the first place, because if he's telling you not to do something, it's not for you to then do, for him to say that because you say, I'm going to do it with him in mind, that it's going to be okay. Like, right. No. Right? Like, you, the faith that you develop comes from you strengthening your spirit, you know, your spirit man, so to speak, not your religious doctrine, you know, and it's a balance to it, right? Like, we always talk about the people in the Bible, but the people in the Bible didn't have a Bible. So we got to figure this out, right? Because the things that they were able to figure out is because they had a connection to spirit, connection to nature. Right. You got most people who don't even go outside and stand outside for 15, 20 minutes and just listen to the wind blow. Listen to the trees rustle. Listen to the birds talk to each other and communicate. Right. Watch the way the ants migrate. Watch the way the flies and the bees move around. Like, very seldom do people pay attention to nature, because nature is who we are. Like, we come from that particular space, and we've gotten so far away from that is why we can't connect to our spirit like we supposed to, right? Our bills got people not believing in nothing but a paycheck, right? A boss, a company. People believe in that more than they believe in the person that they supposed to give their life for them. Right. Like, we got partners. You know, you said you're married, and other people, they have relationships, and people have all these things, and they put more trust in their job than in the person that they said is their partner. Mm. All because their job is connected to their bills, and their bills is connected to them having, we can't necessarily say freedom, but it allows people to have a sense of their own. Right. Because I think overall, that's what we all want, a sense of our own. Right. So whenever you're dealing with spirits, right, for people, and they come to you for that particular portion outside of, because I read on your page too, that you do Reiki healing. All right. So, which is more of a physical portion of that, you know, particular thing, right? And able to help people with their chakras and align their chakras, right? Because of the way that the body is set up with the seven chakras, right? Very, very few people don't believe in the chakra system, right? Because they've been told that the thing that makes them feel good or bad is a Holy Spirit. Mm. Right. So let me ask you this. When it comes down to you understanding that portion of the medium part of what you do, mm-hmm. which is actually standing in the gap for spirits, mm-hmm. For the person that you're standing in the gap for, how did you recognize that you had that particular gift? Because everyone that's spiritual doesn't necessarily have that one.
I prayed to God to be given the gifts that people need who come to me. So whoever comes to me, I pray, whatever it is that this person needs, please grant me the gifts to serve them to my fullest ability in this hour together, or in these months together, or years together, however long it takes. I'm not attached to that at all. In the past, I thought, as a business person, I need repeat business. Like, I've let go of that. And I'm just like, whoever needs help, however long it takes, like, that's what I'm here for. And whatever they need, I will be given the gifts to help them. And I believe that, and I trust that. And that's what happens. People come to me and they just start talking and they tell me everything. Like, they disclose what's going on. And I feel so honored that they feel so comfortable with someone they have never even met. You know, I do most of this online. And so just start talking. And then when they're talking, I usually get, like, it's like a whisper, and it's their guides talking to me. So they're talking and I'm actually listening to their guides while they're talking. So it's like their words are coming out, but I'm feeling the energy and their guides are whispering to me, and they tell me to interrupt them and just start talking. I do that all the time, which is hard because then in my everyday life, I sometimes do it too. And I'm like, oh wait, like, now I'm human Julie and I'm not spiritually, like, I need to, like, listen to my partner or listen to my mom or whoever. But I, when they're saying something, I know what's really going on. It's hard not to interject, but I have to practice that, you know, like, it's just one of my things I'm working on. But when I'm in sessions with people, like, I'll flat out just stop them and I'll say what their guides are saying. And then the Reiki for me is really just to get away, for, like, to have a way to help people calm down, like, to bring their nervous system back to this, like, peaceful place so that they can receive the messages. Because when they come to me overwhelmed or burned out or frustrated with their partner or their business, they're not ready to listen. Like, they're turning to me as, like, the be all end all, their healer, their guide. And that's not what this is about at all. It's about receptivity and allowing them to receive, right, the messages and receive what they want in life. So first we need to calm down. So that's why I bring the Reiki in, to just calm them down, to help balance them out. And then from that place, they're much more receptive, willing to listen. They can even hear their own guidance. So I give them time, which is just quiet. And they will say, like, oh, I heard this message. I had a flash of this person. So they get their own messages while I'm doing the Reiki. And then I talk about what I received for them. But at first, I want to hear what they got. And sometimes it's nothing because they have resistance around it. And that's fine, too. And then in that case, I'll do more talking. But my intention is for them to be more in tune and to get the messages themselves and to enhance their own intuition so they don't feel like they have to look outside themselves a lot. You know, every now and then, adjustment. Like, I have an intuitive, like, I just called her last week. I was like, I'm like really needing help with this one issue. And she, like, brought me back and my spirit guides were like, knock it off. You know, like, this is not an issue. Like, you're blowing this out of proportion, you know, and I needed to hear that. And after, I'm like, I'm good. Like, it's like a pep talk, you know, and then it's like your coach talking to you and getting you back in the game. And you're like, okay, I'm good. Let's go play. So that's kind of how I do it too. And then the mediumship, if a departed loved one has a message and that's what they need to hear, then they're going to tell me their message and they're going to be there. And that happens in and out. It's not my focus. But again, my intention is whatever this person needs, I'm of service. Like, please use me as a conduit. God used me as a conduit, not all the departed loved ones, because they could have their own agenda as well. But if God says this departed loved one needs to say this, then they're going to tell me that. And then I tell the person. And that's how.
Well, gotcha. Because, yeah, I've always been intrigued by that portion of certain type of spiritual gifts, because of, you know, for certain mediums that I've had on the show, they have this thing where they said that once they were able to recognize that they had that gift, they were never able to turn it off. So they see, hear, and feel spirits at 24/7, 7 days a week. It doesn't matter where they go, where they are, they can actually pick up on energy, pick up on things, and to the point where, you know, certain people, they've gotten it down to where they've just accepted it in life and they're able to deal with it, where it doesn't bother them, where they don't take on these things and it affects them after they do a reading for somebody or they channel for somebody. But then there's those people who I've talked to or I had on the show who say they ran away from that gift for a really long time because that part of their gift scared them the most, because things would come to them even when it wasn't for anyone. Mm-hmm. right? Spirits would just come to them and show up and try to communicate with them, even if they don't have no one in front of them that they're communicating for. Like, they're even doing a medium or a reading for, you know? So that caused them to turn it off. And some people have resulted into, like, you know, drugs and different things like that, like pharmaceutical drugs, let's be clear, to help them navigate that portion of their gift, to kind of make it go dormant to where they don't connect to it as much. So whenever I hear about people who say that they're a medium, I like to ask those questions, because that's a different gift of spirituality more than like a psychic or, you know, a person that just can read energy. A medium is a person that actually interacts with spirits that haven't passed on, right? Because it's technically that, like, you know, from what I understand, the spirits that said to themselves, I'm not walking back through that light. I'm not starting all this over again. I'm a chill right here. And they are the ones that become that. And then they have those that, from my understanding, that are ascended spirit beings. Like, they've ascended. They've completed the things that they've gone to learn here. And they become ascended beings to where they do come and they, you know, they have messages for those that are in their lineage that they want to continue to move forward when they have certain gifts and purposes, right? So that's why I ask you that, because it's important, because those people who brag about being a medium, 9 times out of 10, they're not.
Yeah, right? You can assert your boundaries. Like, I turn it off. Like, when I'm out and about, like, and I have rules, like, I will never read my partner. Like, I'm not going to read my husband. I don't read my children. I don't read my mom, like, my friends. Like, I turn it off when I'm with my loved ones. And when I'm out and about, I don't want to know people's business. Like, why would I want to know their business? So I, like, my intention is to not have it on. I will still get nudges about people. Like, if I'm at church or something, I'm like, ooh, like, this guy's energy is off. I can't sit near him. Like, I absolutely get that. And I know when someone's darker, I know when they're in messing with stuff they shouldn't be, like, I can feel it. And so I'm guided like that to protect me, but I don't get messages for people when I'm out and about, unless they talk to me and ask for help. Like, if they flat out say this is going on, I will tell them I'm an intuitive and is it okay if I share a message with you? I'm getting this about what's going on. But I won't do a full reading. I'll just give them a little bit. Like, I'm just, I feel like this is something you need to hear right now, you know? So it's like that, but I don't see spirits. I've never seen them. I have felt them before. Like, I can feel them. I feel their presence, but I don't see them. And even when I'm in my home, like, I will assert myself and I'll say, like, this is my bedroom. Like, you are not welcome here. I don't care who you are. Like, this is my space for me and my husband. Anything else must leave, you know? So I do assert my space, and I do it for my children too, because my children are both intuitive and my son was having trouble sleeping. So I, like, went to his room and I asserted, you know, this is Max's room. Like, this is where he rests. Like, do not bother him here, you know? So I had to, like, set boundaries around that. And then, it's older, I can teach them how to do that. But I don't want people to fear, like, practicing their gifts, that thinking that they can never turn it off, because you can. You just have to know, like, to be assertive, and to know that you are sovereign and nothing rules you, you know. And I like to say I belong to myself and God only, you know. I don't belong to anyone. I am right. God, and nobody tells me what to do but God. Like, God's my boss, you know. So that is part of it. Now, I don't know, like, their experience. Like, I can only speak to my experience, but I am able to turn it off. So it's not on 24/7.
Okay, gotcha. Well, yeah, you know, for some people, they don't have the ability to turn it off from their perspective. Like I said, I get it. You know, everybody's gift is different. It's just the fact that whenever you guys recognize that you have a gift and you're willing to speak about it, especially from a spiritual space, because you could be looked at in so many different ways other than a sane person. You'd be looked at in all the other ways that people look at people when it comes down to that, because for some reason, you know, it's just something that's taboo about spirituality when, you know, religion is the forefront of most people's households, right? So it comes with that. So this is what we want to do, man, because we want people to be able to reach out to you and be able to, you know, see if they can't come to you to figure out if there's a certain location they need to be, if they're feeling stuck. Like, you know, like they saying to themselves, like, yo, I like it here, but nothing is really growing the way I wanted to. I need to relocate because, like, I never heard of that before you today. So I think that's really important. Or if people just really have some things that they feel like, you know, based on your energy that they feel through the conversation, and then they want to reach out to you, how can they do that?
So my website is juliegcoaching.com. So that's a great way to find all of my services. And then I'm Julie G Coaching on Facebook and Instagram as well. But Julie G Coaching is the best place to just go to my website, and you'll be able to see all my links to set up a session with me.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, to all the people that's watching and all y'all that's going to watch the playback, if you guys are, you know, when it comes down to spirituality, I just want y'all to know that there is a difference. And I think that all of us are connected to the same consciousness, right? I think we all are. And I think that there are people who have spirits and there are people who have souls. But that's just my personal belief. I think that all of y'all or anyone that's watching or will watch a playback will understand that, you know, we have to exercise inside just as much as we have to exercise our outside, which is our physical. We have to work on the things that make us who we are on the inside, the things that gives us off whatever we resonate when other people are around us. So having a person help you get into more in tune or balance into your spiritual space is just not a bad thing. And it's not a thing that you should, you know, shun or feel bad about because you have an interest in, you know, how does spirituality and intuition really work? And how does it really work in your life? Because maybe that might be what you need to know more so than you need to know who your next partner is, right? Because a lot of us, you're not going to get to your partner if you're not ready for them, if you're supposed to be aligned with a purpose. And I think a lot of people miss that part too. Like, you know, you could be shown your partner, you could be around your partner all day long, but it won't connect the right way if you're not aligned with the purpose of your partner as well too. Because I think that a lot of us are meant to be together to help each other, not just to be together, right? So I hope for those of y'all that watched, y'all got something out of tonight's conversation, because, you know, it was a great conversation. And I think Julie has a really, you know, good grasp on how to maneuver through the spiritual realm, because unlike her, there's a lot of people who brag on their gifts to the point where they feel like they're all knowing. She brought everything back to the fact that she gets everything from God, which I feel like is really important too, because that at least lets us know that, you know, regardless if she charged for her services or not, her goal is to make sure that she get this information out to the people, not so much that it has to worry about the dollar amount that comes with it. So, because if it's coming from God, so if she blesses somebody, then in turn she gets blessed. So If y'all guys are out there and y'all are watching and y'all need some healing, some spiritual guidance, or if you just need to know, what's the name? How do you say that again about the relocation? What is it called again?
Astrocartography. So it's the astrology of location. Astrocartography.
Astrocartography, right? Yes. So if any of you guys need to know whether you need to be in Dubai and you live in New Jersey, or if you need to be in California and you live in Texas, right? So however this go, and if it's a thing that you've been feeling a tug to be in another place, then, you know, I'm thinking that Julie could probably help you figure that out, whether you know what you're feeling is the right move for you or not. And she also says she deals with love too. So if any of you guys are out there looking to find out who your soulmates are, now remember, you're going to have more than one soulmate. Certain people, not everybody, right? You're going to run into soulmates as you go, but then there are certain people who are going to have more than one soulmate. Be open to understanding that. I hope y'all understand that too, because that's one of the hardest things for people to come to grips with, that, yeah, a person is going to have more than one soulmate. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it'll be more than one soulmate at a time, in the same time. So just be open to understanding that too when it comes down to spirituality. But before we get out of here, is there anything that you would like to give to the audience before we go, Julie? Because I feel like you did a lot today and you gave out a lot of good information.
I can share. I do have a cheat sheet to kind of explain what astrocartography is. If anyone's curious to like dive into their chart a little bit on their own, I can share a cheat sheet that shows how to do that if you want to play around with it yourself. So that's something I could just drop a link in the I don't know, wherever we share this.
Yeah, definitely. So we'll do that. So as I put the clips out after our conversation today, we'll add the link to it. And then hopefully, you know, people will just, you know, find you, you know, based on the information you gave out, and they'll reach out to you. They can even let you know that they heard you on the platform this evening, and hopefully, you know, they go ahead and get some things done if they're curious about it, right? Because I think it's important that, you know, we balance out our spiritual with our flesh as much as possible to keep us in line with the way that our purpose is supposed to go. Because for some people out here, their flesh takes over quickly, right? And so definitely. So thank you all for those of y'all that watched tonight. Thank you for all of y'all guys that's going to watch the playback. Double shout out to everybody that left a comment. I definitely appreciate y'all, because that's one of the joys about doing the platform is when you guys comment and stuff like that, because it just lets me know that, you know, you guys are enjoying the conversation. It also lets me know that we having a conversation worth commenting on. So thank y'all so much. And we're going to be right back here next week, y'all. You know what I'm saying? It's a new month next week. I want y'all to come join in. We're going to be talking to people that have been dealing with some things that they definitely didn't expect their life to go that way. And I want y'all to join us to make sure that y'all understand that, you know, at the blink of an eye, these things can happen to you too. So if we can just put ourselves in a position where we could be there for others, then definitely we can be open for those to be there for us. So don't forget, y'all, each and every week on Tuesday nights, we're right here, 8 p.m., you know, Sparking Conversation is here for the people. And if you are a person that has an interesting story and you want to get that off, y'all know what to do. Y'all just hit me up. Y'all can either hit me up on wherever y'all follow me on, and how y'all can follow me. So all you got to do is type in hashtag Raw1 in any platform and you'll pull me up. Or if not, y'all can reach me at sparkingconversation@gmail.com. Make sure you put in the subject line guest. And just let me know a little bit about what you want to kind of talk about, and we'll see if we can get you on, all right? Other than that, I want all you guys to stay cool out there, right? And just remember, I say this each and every week, if you don't believe in yourself, nobody else will. So until next week, peace. Don't hurt nobody out there.